Welcome to our service for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. It's been a very busy week all round, with thousands of visitors flocking to Newquay especially for the lovely sunshine. On Thursday, the Newquay lifeboat was called out three times, twice the inshore boat and once the main boat. Those rescued had to be taken off in ambulances to hospital. The Coast Guard had another shout in addition, which again was a hospital job. It was a great joy at our Corquet concert in aid of the lifeboat that evening to be able to interview Ken, a member of the crew, and to make real the course for which we were inviting people to give. May I invite you to a second concert, given by our friend Kerry Owen Jones on this Thursday, August the 24th at 7 o'clock, again at Llanina. Kerry will introduce us to the music of the Welsh triple harp, an instrument not often heard nowadays. We begin our service firmly in Wales today with William Pantcelyn's great hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim, through this barren land." Time for our confession. I reverted to one that we used to do right at the beginning of these online services and haven't done for some time. You'll hear in it the echoes of the Book of Common Prayer. But first, the introduction. Jesus said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Collect for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 56, beginning to read at the first verse. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those gathered already. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I will trust in you.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, 15th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. Jesus went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was instantly healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today begins with an unexplained decision. Jesus went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. The difficult, troubling part of the story comes later, of course, when Jesus says to a woman who asks him to heal her daughter that it is not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She is a Canaanite woman from that region. It's one of the few moments where the tensions between Jews and Palestinians, which today we regard as endemic to Palestine and Israel, surface in the New Testament account. The ethnic and religious differences between the woman and Jesus are clear. Jesus's usual practice has been to teach Jews, members of the same race and religion as himself. We do see him, of course, meeting, for example, Samaritans and teaching about them, but Samaritans are more or less of the same race as Jews, and although Jews regarded them as heretical, they were also followers of Yahweh, the God of the Jews. But this woman is a Gentile, one of the few Gentiles with whom we see Jesus come into contact, a Gentile by race, and therefore, almost certainly, a pagan by religion. One of the great differences between the experience of the apostles and the experience of Jesus is that he works and teaches within a much narrower sphere. "I was sent," he says, "to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Which raises, of course, the question of that unexplained decision. Jesus went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. That's to say, he went away to a region populated by the non-Jewish pagans of whom this woman is one. If he wasn't going there to minister, to teach and preach and heal, why did he go? Perhaps he went just for a break, not just a break from busyness, but a break from perpetual expectation. Amongst his own people, both in his home region of Galilee in the north and in the southern region of Judea around the capital Jerusalem, his every move was watched. Everyone wanted to know who he was, what he represented, what he would do next, what he would say next. Whom would he take on next? The scribes? The Pharisees? The Sadducees? Was he even going to take on the Romans? What was his attitude to them? Wherever he went, even when he tried to escape across a lake, the crowds would follow him somehow. In Tyre and Sidon, perhaps, among strangers who would not agree with him, who were not looking for anything from him, he might get a break from the content's expectation. In the end, though, we have to say that we just don't know. Matthew just presents this to us as a blank fact. Jesus went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. We don't know why. What we do know is that if he did go there to try and get away from constant expectation, It didn't work. His reputation went before him, and if people were desperate enough, they would still beg him for help. The disciples are heartily sick of this woman who badgers them all day long so that she can get the teacher's ear. They don't say to him, "Please help her, Lord, she's going on and on." They say, "Please shut her up and make her go away." But he doesn't. He listens to her. Whatever her state of faith, in whatever religion she follows, she comes to him because she is a desperate mother who can find help nowhere else. It's a reaction as old as time, isn't it? We still see them today, parents, especially mothers, who will put up with any inconvenience, travel any distance, challenge any kind of authority, beg or raise any amount of money to get hold of way-out treatments for their children that everyone knows are probably just wacky, however honestly intended, but which constitute their last hope for the healing of their child. The disciples want her to go away and shut up. They might as well talk to the wind. Jesus challenges her, and in words which have, of course, always been problematic. However tired he is, however frustrated at not being able to escape it all, we do not expect to hear such brutal words from him. It isn't fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. He was sent to his fellow Jews, to the lost sheep, he says, assuredly to the poor among them and assuredly to the sinful, the people whom other Jews disregarded. But he was not sent to these other people, who are not of the one true faith. And so he deals very sharply with her. It isn't fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Her answer is inspired. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Without much doubt, her quick-witted response is one of the reasons why this became a really important story to the early church. One of the ideas that biblical scholars use in assessing whether Jesus really said something is how difficult it is. If it's really difficult, and yet it finds its way into the scriptures, it's reasonable to argue that in fact he really did say it. Nobody would have put such difficult words on his lips. And so this story and these words became precious in the early church. They were treasured. And they would have been treasured, of course, exactly because they were one of the very few instances in the life of Jesus when it became clear that Gentiles would somehow be acceptable to God on their basis of their faith in him, not needing to be born as Jews, not needing, if they were male, to be circumcised, not needing to be carefully taught Jewishness before they were acceptable to God. Simply, they must put their faith in Jesus, as this woman does. "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." The story is precious too because it somehow encapsulates the truth that Jesus is a man with two natures. A very human man who can sometimes try to escape from pressure, who is capable of being nagged and resenting it, capable of coping with contradiction without being threatened or undermined. Too easily, we forget that in responding in this way to a woman, he moves outside the norms of the Jewish teacher. It's not the only place where we see him entirely unfazed by a woman who challenges his authority, where we see him indeed secure enough in his authority to do what he is asked. Neither is it the only place where we see that he has a sense of humour. Desperate as she is, there is yet a wit and humour in her response. This is a real conversation, believable at a human level between two people across the intervening centuries. But it is also a conversation in which the other divine side of Jesus' nature is revealed. Here is a man of flesh and blood, anger and wit, who nonetheless can say, "Let it be done for you," and it is, done instantly and completely. There is about him the sense that the power and grace of God cannot be contained within him. His love and compassion for this mother and her daughter will break the usual bounds of race and religion, the barrier between a very ordinary man and a great religious teacher. Just as, in other places, he is happy to feel the tears that fall upon his feet, and happy too to touch the feet that he himself is washing, so here he is able to be touched by the grief as well as the humour of this woman, and happy to respond to her need. Because it is a difficult story, it is somehow a better one and truer. Here is a saviour in whom, in a broken world, we can really put our hope. Amen. Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Entad ar hynoet yn y nefoedd sancteiddio dy enw, deled y dernas gwnel y dy wyllus, megis yn y nef fechlu ar y ddear heddi. Dyron ni heddiw ein bar y meinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac ar ran ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni thrag drwg. Canis eiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu, a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. We pray for the worldwide Church of Christ, especially for this Diocese of St. David's and our local churches and parishes. We pray for our recently retired bishop, Joanna, praying for restoration of health and well-being in her retirement. We pray for the archdeacons who bear an extra load in her absence and as a new bishop is sought. We pray especially for our archdeacon, Aileen, for our area dean, John. We pray for the clergy in our team, for Judith and for Father Dylan. And we remember those who are ill. We pray especially for David. We give thanks too for the ministry of lay people in all our churches, which keeps their life and witness alive. We pray, Father, that in all their busyness, you would give them grace to find still the joy and hope of the Christian faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we've been thinking about visitors to Newquay and the good work of our lifeboat station, so we pray for all those who visit our parishes in this summertime. We do indeed pray for their safety. We pray for their refreshment and well-being. And we pray, as we always do, that for some of them their holidays would also be holy days, that they would find spiritual refreshment alongside everything else they need, as they gather as individuals or in family groups to join with us here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who were taken to hospital yesterday, Thursday, by the good work of the lifeboat and the Coast Guard. We pray for their healing and restoration of health. And we continue to pray for the work of the RNLI and Coast Guard, in Newquay especially, remembering also the voluntary fire service. We pray for all those who work for the well-being of the community, our general practitioners, our community therapists and nurses, our social workers and other helpers, those who work in old people's home and in other forms of care. We pray, Father, your blessing upon their work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember before the Lord those who have gone before us, those we have loved, those whose witness to Christ has strengthened our own walk of faith. According to your promises, Father, grant us with them to stand eternally in your presence, as our hope is these our brothers and sisters do. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is a light, illumine and guide you. Christ is a shield, overshadow you. Christ under you, Christ over you, Christ before you, on your left and your right. This day be within and without you, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Be in the heart of each you who, to whom you speak, in the mouth of each who speaks unto you. This day be within and without you, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Christ is a light. Christ is a shield, Christ beside you, on your left and your right. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.